Well, it's a wonderful day to be alive. It's a wonderful day to be here in church, and I'm so thankful to be saved, and I'm thankful you're here with us as well. And maybe this has been your church home for decades. Maybe this is the first time that you've been in this building. But regardless, I believe the Lord has gathered us together for this hour. And I say that for the whole time, not my message. So don't worry. I believe the Lord has gathered us together for this hour to be here, and I'm so thankful that you are here. We're looking forward to a great time in the Word of God. We're looking at Hebrews chapter 12. If you would turn your scriptures there, if you have your Bible with you, Hebrews chapter 12, while you're finding your place in Hebrews 12. I know it's getting warm, and so I thought I'd bring you a cold story. I heard of this family, this couple that lived in Toledo, Ohio. One winter morning, they were sitting down for breakfast, the husband and wife, and heard the announcer on the radio say that we're going to have 8 to 10 inches of snow today, so you need to park your cars on the even-numbered side of the street so the snow plows could get through. So Bob's wife, she went out and moved the car and did that. About a week later, they were sitting down for breakfast, and the radio announcer said, we're going to have 10 to 12 inches of snow today, and so you got to make sure that you put your car on the odd number. So they were just pave or just a plow on one side so the snow plow can get through. Bob's wife again goes out, moves the car, and makes sure all that. About a week later, another snowstorm was coming through, and the announcer on the radio, as they were sitting for breakfast, said, we're expecting 12 to 14 inches of snow today, so you must park. But then the power went out, and the electric cut off, and the radio went silent. Bob's wife's upset, really upset. She said, oh, I don't know, honey, what we're going to do. She said, I don't know whether he's going to stay on the odd side. I don't know if he's going to stay on the even side. Which side of the street do we need to park on? It's just so perplexing. I don't know what to do. With all the love and understanding that Bob could muster up, he said, honey, how about for a change we just leave it in the garage? So, in case it's getting too warm for you, just think of those people up there in December. Hebrews chapter number 12, we're going to get to verse number 3, and that'll be where we draw our title from that verse, but we're going to preach through these three or four verses. Hebrews 12, 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, for consider him. That'll be our text, or our title rather. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. We know we've celebrated we honor Memorial Day, and we realize that we look at those that have given their lives for this nation. And truly, those that give that last full measure of devotion prove out what the Bible says in John chapter 15, verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. May we appreciate as a church and as a people those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice. But I also want to do some looking back today at those heroes of the faith. You see, chapter 11 of Hebrews is some call it the Hall of Fame of Faith. We see Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses, Joshua, and many other heroes of the faith are listed all throughout that chapter. Chapter 11, it's great reading. In verse number 1 of chapter 12 we read, it says, we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. There's so many that have gone on before us. In verse number 37 of chapter 11, it says they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were slain with swords. And I think about those that have gone on before us. And I want to preach for just a little while through those three verses there, verse 1, 2, and 3. But ending on verse number 3 where it says, for consider him. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Thank you again, dear Lord, as I mentioned these folks, that you've gathered all of us together. We're quite a collection of people. Some have been here for decades, some just a few years, others their first time, others are moving, some are changing, some have married folks off this weekend, others are looking forward to doing it, and Lord, yet others are having difficulty in their family, and others are having health issues that they're not excited about. Lord, we're just a collection of people, and only you could speak to each of our hearts, but I ask you to do that. Meet with us, please, in this moments that we have, in Jesus' name, amen. I've been many times to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in Arlington, and it's always somber, it's always serious. You watch that soldier take 21 steps, turn and wait 21 seconds, and then turn and take 21 steps back. And I've reminded every time I go that we're honoring people who got you where you are. We're honoring people who paid the sacrifice to serve for the nation. But in a real sense, I'm looking at Hebrews chapter 12, and we're looking at those that have chapter 11 as well. We're looking at those, spiritually speaking, who have lived for the Lord Jesus Christ, and they have lived for God Almighty in the Old Testament. And those Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints, now as we come on the scene here, as Johnny come latelys, as it were, we look back to those that have sacrificed, but we look forward to what we've got to do in our race. But then ultimately, we look and see what's the motivation for all of that. And that's what you find in verse number 3 when it says, "For consider him." I'm thinking about, as you read the scriptures about the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll find him, as the Bible says, altogether lovely. He is the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's, as the songwriter said, fairest of 10,000, fairer than 10,000. We see that the Lord Jesus Christ is all that we need. And as we look in this passage today, I trust that God would convict your heart and convince you that as you walk out these doors, we have what we need because we're considering him. Let me see this first of all in verse number 1. We see that those who have gone on before have paved our way. The Bible says in verse number 1, we see that we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. What would those witnesses be? We'll look back in verse number 5 of chapter 11. We see that Enoch was translated that he should not see death. We see in verse number 7 that Noah, by faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet. We see in verse number 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should go. The Bible says in verse number 20, by faith, Isaac. In verse 21, by faith, Jacob. Verse 22, by faith, Joseph. In verse number 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born. Talking about his parents. And then in verse 24, by faith, Moses. We see that there's been a lot of people that have paved the way before all of us. And then we go to more recent history. Most of us, we look at our faith and we see that somebody, either parents or grandparents. There's some of the first generation Christians in here, and I certainly applaud you. Thank you for receiving the Lord. But if you're much as myself, I had the way paved because my parents were saved before I was ever born, and they brought me up in what I'm currently doing. Oh, not the preaching part, but the dedication to the Lord. I'm saying, first of all, there are those who have gone on before, and they've paved our way. In verse 33 of chapter 11, it says, "Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions." And I see that we ought to pay respect to those that have gone on before us. And if you've got some spiritual forefathers in your ranks, you should thank the Lord, whether they're in heaven or whether they're still here on earth. You ought to thank God for that. And you ought to be certainly grateful and thankful that you've had it an example. That's what the Bible tells us. We have examples to follow in the faith. But these folks we have are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses that we see that they've gone on before. But not only have we see those that have gone on before, we're thankful for Moses and all he did. We're thankful for Joshua and all that he did. We name all the Old Testament saints. And then we come to the New Testament. We're thankful for all of those that they have done. But we come to a more recent time. We're thankful for all the old preachers that have come through here back in the day. Mays Jackson, who's an old Southern preacher, could come through for camp meeting preaching, and he would preach. And we see other preachers, maybe that of your yesteryear, that you rejoice and rehearse in your mind, thinking, "Oh, what a wonderful time. We think about people who, as my dad would say, had cut a wide swath for the Lord. We think about people who would preach, and Billy Graham used to preach to stadiums full of people and pastors and preachers and evangelists, and they've done all of that, but many of those are gone. And we see that not only did they have a great race to run for the Lord, but so do we. God hasn't stopped working just because other great heroes of the faith have gone off the scene. And I'm humbled today, and I hope that you're humbled before you leave this room. I'm humbled today by the fact that God has something for me to do before He takes me home. Do you understand that every person, you say, oh, pastor, you're the pastor of this church. Not, I don't have a race because I'm the pastor of this church. I have a race because I'm a Christian, because the Lord saved me. Look, as we see in the end of verse number 1, it says that you're supposed to lay aside every weight, the sin which does so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that's set before us. We all did relay races in grade school, didn't we? We all used to grab those little batons, which was nothing more than just a piece of PVC pipe that somebody cut off and then painted bright orange or something. And then now we've got a baton. So that means that you start off there at one end of the soccer field and you go so far and somebody's waiting there to grab that baton. And then they'll run it all the way down, give it to another person. They run partway down and give it to another person and finally come back from where you started. And we see that there's a race that's before us. And not only do we look in our spiritual lives, not only do we look and see that there's people that have gone on before us, we thank the Lord for every Old Testament saint, for every saint of God that's gone before us in our lives. If you've got some grandparents that lived for the faith, that stood for Christ, that stayed in church and did what was right and tried to raise your parents in the church, well, thank God for them. Or if you've got some parents that you say, wow, they really went to the mats for me, they really preached this book, or they really lived this book, and they took the time to have devotions with me, you ought to thank God tonight before you go to bed. Lord, thank you for my heritage. I was praying this morning as I was getting ready for the service, and I was praying through different people in my life that God has put in my life to get me where I am. And friends, you've got them as well. You say, oh no, John, I pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. I don't believe it for a minute. We're not that smart. We're not that good. God uses people and puts them in our lives to help establish us and get us to where we need to be. And I see, though, that in this verse number 1, there's a race to be run. The Bible says in Jude verse number 3 that we're supposed to earnestly contend for the faith. Do you realize that the Bible that we have, people have been burned at the stake because they dare have the audacity to have a copy of the Word of God in their own possession? I'm challenged by the faith of the martyrs. William Tyndale, who's most famous for the fact that his first publication of the English Bible, the Tyndale Bible. And we look back at that and we say, wow, what a powerhouse for God. And certainly he was. But can I tell you, the way he was taken out of this world was he was tied to a stake, choked to death, and after he was dead, his body was burned just to desecrate that. I'm inspired by that. But as much as I'm inspired by that, I realize and I'm thankful my life isn't in danger this morning as we proclaim the Word of God. But we see that we're still supposed to run the race with patience, that the race that is set before us. My friend, that means that you and I have a course that we're on. That means that we've got a job that we're supposed to do. That means that we're supposed to be engaged in the work for the Lord. There's a race that God has set before us, and there's, thank the Lord, there are wonderful people before us that ran the race, but now we see that the race is given to us, and you've got something that you're supposed to do, as do I. Do you understand that the people that have already run the race and they've gone on to heaven, they can do nothing more now to help their race. But can I show you something if you look at the end of verse number 40 in Hebrews 11? God, having provided some better thing for us, that they, that's the they in chapter 11, all of those Hall of Fame of Faithers, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. Now, we all know that, most of us know that word perfect doesn't mean without fault or error, but means complete. So if you really study that and you look at it, you say, they without us should not be made perfect. So all those people that were listed in Hebrews chapter 11, Isaac, Jacob, Joshua, Rahab, all those people who were faithful to God, the Bible says that they without us won't be complete. The package won't be complete. Let me illustrate if I could. We know that in 1779, this church was established, the oldest church in Tennessee. 1779 was established by a man named Titus Lane, came across the mountains from North Carolina and established a church up on Buffalo Ridge. But he lived and he died. And you know the auditorium you sat in, although we remodeled it and refurbished it last year, it was built in 1975. Although it was a great history lesson from 1779 that somebody started a church, somebody needed to be here in action, getting things done to build the auditorium we're sitting in today. Hence, a person graduated from Bob Jones University and went to serve the Lord, and in 1963 came and pastored this church for 46 years. And in that tenure, he had built the auditorium that you're sitting in. So the old is not made perfect or not complete without what's going on now. And God's got a plan for this church, I believe, all the way until He raptures and takes us out of here. So the beginners aren't complete without all the people, the pieces, in the intermediate and as we get closer to the end, I believe. And so I believe that's what the Scriptures is talking about in verse number 40, not just because of a church building here or a church here in this area, but I'm talking about the faith. And the Bible says, without us, those people are not perfect. So you say, does that mean that I'm important? Yes, it does. Does that mean that Noah's important? Yes, it does. And to be honest with you, God had a race for Noah. God had a plan and a race for Joshua, but God also has a plan and a race for John, and God has a plan for you, and God has a race for each and every one of us. The Bible says that we're supposed to run with patience, that race that's set before us. But I want to give you this last thing before we leave. I say, first of all, those have gone on before, they paved the way. But we have a race to run now, number two. But thirdly and lastly, I give you this in verse number three. Our greatest object of looking at, our greatest memorial, our greatest motivation is Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Our greatest allegiance should be to Jesus Christ. We get great motivation from people who have done wonderful things. I told you, William Tyndale, Richard Huss. You read Fox's Book of Martyrs, some different accounts of people who have gone to the stake, literally, for their faith. And you get motivation from that. But can I tell you what gives motivation more than any of those biographies, any of those accounts? Looking unto Jesus. For consider Him. And this morning, as I end the service, I'd like for you to do exactly what the Scripture says, for you to consider Him. Could we stop for a little while in our crazy world and consider the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, we look at those who have gone on before. And yes, we realize that we've got a race to run our own selves. But for just a few moments, would you in your own spiritual walk, would you consider Him? If you're a Christian in this room today, would you just for a little while, just let your mind start thinking, pondering, considering the fairest of all, the Lord Jesus Christ? Could you for a little while consider Him who went to the cross to pay your sin debt? Could you, as a child of God, for just a little while consider Him before we start complaining about, well, why would a Christian have to do this, or why can't a Christian do that, or what makes somebody think they could tell me to do that? Could we just take a break from all of that and consider Him? Could I just tell you why you ought to do all that you do as a Christian? Because of Him. Could I challenge you as a Christian, quit trying to please everybody else, be it the pastor or some other person? Could I tell you that you ought to quit trying to please everybody else and try to please Him? Could I challenge you in your life not to live your life so that people will think you're something and that think you're somebody, or to think that you're something, but instead consider Him? Could I challenge you this morning as a believer in Jesus Christ to let Him permeate all your thoughts and to let Him be the reason that you do all that you do? Could I challenge you this morning? Consider Him. And may we live our lives in such a way that everything that we do, it's all because of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, that makes it sound awful simple. My friend, it is simple, because the way I treat somebody out there in the world ought to be based on my relationship with Jesus Christ. The financial dealings that I have ought to be based on the relationship I have with Jesus Christ. The relationship I have with my wife ought to be based on the sweet fellowship that I have with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just asking you to please consider Him before you do anything, and as you're doing everything, for consider Him. And then if you're here this morning and you hear a lot of talk about Jesus Christ, but you know deep down in your heart you don't know Him personally as your Savior. Oh, maybe you've been in church for years and years, but you don't know Him personally as your Savior. Oh, you know, I could take you to many pastors today that even after they were on staff at a good church, they had to humble themselves and be saved. You don't go to heaven by being a church member. You don't go to heaven by being a pastor. You go to heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's it. So if you're here this morning and you've got some worries and some doubts about whether or not you're on your way to heaven, could I challenge you, as the Scripture says, to consider Him? Jesus Christ loved you and I so much that even in our sinful, wicked condition, which all of us are, in our sinful, wicked condition, Jesus looked down through the ages of time and saw that we were going to be born, and He died on the cross for all of my lies, for all of my cheating, for all of my sins. And my friend, if you're here this morning and you don't know for certain that you know that Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, could I ask you to consider Him? If you're here and you're not sure that you're saved, the Bible teaches that all of our sins we're accountable for. And that means that we're in a horrible shape, because sin must be paid for. And the Bible goes on to say that the only place that can be paid for is in a horrible place called hell. But praise the Lord, the one that we're considering, Jesus Christ, stepped out of heaven and stepped into this earth and lived 33 homesick years on this earth. And He died on the cross. He was buried and rose again. And He was in victory over death, hell, and the grave. And He died on the cross for your sins and for my sins. And my friend, if you're here today and you're not sure you're saved, would you consider Him? You don't go to heaven by being a good member of this church. You don't go to heaven by being a good preacher. You only go to heaven by putting your faith in Jesus Christ alone as your Savior. So today, I look at all those people that have ran the race before us, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And seeing them, what they've done, makes me motivated to run the race that God has given me. But God's given all of us one. But I realize, without looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, without looking unto Him, I will certainly stumble and mess it up. Our greatest view, our greatest look ought to be the Lord Jesus Christ. So my text, my title, and my word to you is found in verse 3, for consider Him. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, I ask you quite humbly that every person in this room would consider Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherever they're at in their walk with you, may they today consider Jesus Christ, your Son. Lord, I believe we've got too many Christians that are looking around to see what everybody else thinks. Wonder how many followers I have. Wonder what this is going to do to my image. Wonder what people are going to think about this. Wonder what so-and-so will think. Wonder what so-and-so will say. Lord, would you help us to divorce ourselves from all of those thoughts and just simply consider you. And then, Lord, if there's one or several that are here and not quite certain about whether they've received Christ as their Savior, they're religious, but maybe they're lost. Lord, help them see today that salvation is only found, it's only found in Jesus Christ. And I pray that people would be sensitive and they would receive Christ as their Savior if they've never done it. Bless us, Father, and help us as a church as we consider Him. Would you stand together with me as our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, as the ladies play something through? If God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. Here's the invitation, Christian. In all that you do, how much of it are we doing just because we want to be seen of somebody else? I challenge you to consider Him. I think that you'll do more when we consider Him than we ever did when we consider everybody else. But our motivation will be right. For consider Him. And my friend, perhaps you're here today and you're not sure that you're saved. If that's you, I invite you to come. We would be honored to just take the time to show you from the Word of God what it says about how you can go to heaven. We can't save anybody. But the Bible says about Jesus Christ that He'll save anybody who comes to Him in faith, believing on Him for the forgiveness of their sin. As they play one more verse, if God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. Thank you so much. You can look this way. And I trust that as we walk out these doors, just to drive it home one more time, that you would consider Him. May we live our lives based on, they used to have those little slogans on shirts and little bracelets that said WWJD, what would Jesus do? You say, oh, that's kind of silly, isn't it? Well, I'd say that'd be a good, pretty good question about every situation we come up against. If we could do that, we'd be in pretty good shape. Thank you so much. Well, I wanted to share with you before you left that Preacher Leslie had to slip out, and many of you saw that, but he is doing fine. He's just a little dizzy, so I want to let everybody know so you wouldn't be concerned about that. Keep praying for him. And he took a little fall the other day and skinned up his head, and so please keep Preacher Leslie, our Pastor Emeritus, in your prayers, and certainly would appreciate that. And then next week, just kind of give you a little heads up, there'll be an envelope like this in your bulletin. And I know you can't see it from where you're at, but there's some out on the guest services counter. But it gives you an opportunity to buy a chair for our Ridge Kids area. That's the children's department that we're remodeling up there. And we are so much looking forward to what God's going to do up in the Ridge Kids area. They're expensive. They're $45 a chair. And maybe you'd like to buy one or several from your family. And all the money will go to the Ridge Kids renovation project. But these are chairs that we'll be able to use from here on. I believe that that area is going to carry us over for just a little while. And as we're getting it done, then later, God willing, as the Lord brings more and more families to our church and we see the need to address it maybe with a larger, better equipped children's ministry building, but those chairs will be able to be used even for that. So we're looking forward to that. That'll be in your bulletin next week. There's a few on guest services counter, but I just want to let you know, we'll be aware of it. It's not that God's blessed us. It's not that we're trying to beg for money, but I've had different people that want to be a part of that. And so maybe you'd like to buy one or two or five to put up there and let the children be or 15. We could be like an auctioneer. I'll just go ahead. I see that hand. All right. Thank you so much. Well, I'm going to slip back to the lobby. I'm going to ask Brother Stephen Gang, if you don't mind, to come and pray and dismiss us. And as he comes to pray, Amy and I will be back in the lobby. And we'd love to get to meet you. If this is your first time here, why don't you stop by? Or if we can be a blessing to you, we'll certainly enjoy that time. So thank you, Brother Stephen.
Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you that we can look into your Word. Lord, I pray that you help us this week as we go about our days. Help us to look to you for everything that we do. And help us in Jesus' name. Amen.